welcome to the DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we no longer talk about anything remotely close to Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, I'm not sure that that'll always be true.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a new way to introduce this DD&D podcast. I'm actually kind of wanting to phase it out, but we're using it right now as our carryover after our Free Food and Medicine Blog Talk Radio podcast. It's obviously going to be more than 30 minutes because we are long-winded, and we don't know when to shut up. So,
yes, we just went into overtime on the last podcast.
Yeah, we typically go into overtime. So this is our overtime podcast.
Yes. How long
now,
before the automated recording starts?
Oh, yeah, I still haven't worked out the bugs for those. we have to call the Blog Talk Radio 1 minute late, otherwise it won't autoplay. And
okay.
Most of the time it don't work anyway, so what's the point?
Right.
But we'll call it in 6 minutes. Yes. Well, it'll take a minute for it to do all the dial-ups, because I got it all the pre-dial options pre-programmed and blah, blah, blah. But anyhow, I bought a bunch of Free Food and Medicine domain names, one being Free Food and Medicine Podcast .com. So I will redirect that to something. I don't know yet. I haven't figured out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to phase out Demented Dungeons and Dragons and archive
it. Well, we could go back to just calling it DD&D, which is the name of our farm.
It's still at DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Right.
But, well, I do own DDD-podcast.com, but I don't know. I'm still working on coming up with a viable solution to how to organize and market the new avenue. But in the meantime, in the future, just go to ManicMondayPodcast.com and we'll have the details there.
Yeah.
So, I have freefoodandmedicine.net, which is a redirect, goes to the affiliate link for Marcus Rothkran's website, which is at freefoodandmedicine.com. I also own freefoodandmedicine.org, and I want to create a I've been trying to work on creating a social networking platform for people like us to socially network, but it just never took off. So what I'm thinking about doing is maybe taking that .org and setting it up like the ScrapGov Scrap site, where we have a video page, we have a blog, and we have the podcast under the .org. That's what I'm thinking about doing. Then we can have the Discord.
Did you just get a caller?
We did.
Hello.
Oh. That might be our silent caller. Anyhow.
Okay.
So, I'm thinking about setting up the new premise for our Free Food and Medicine podcast to be like our ScrapGov Scrap site, where then when they go have it as a freefoodandmedicine.org, so because essentially, this is not for profit. I mean, we're not going to be a 501c3 extension of the New World Order, Uncle Sam-ness garbage, because we practice God's medicine and Uncle Sam practices sick care. So it'll be a .org, but we're not going to be a non-profit. We'll be a not-for-profit organization. And I'm thinking about having it go to a blog, and then, like on ScrapGovScrap, it goes to a blog, and then we have the links to the video site and the podcast on the blog. And then we can also attach our Discord, which we also have, but we only have like 4 members there right now. And the Discord can be kind of like our social network or our chat, whatever, I don't know. And who knows? I'm learning how to build apps now. So, excuse me, I need to drink more water. I'm learning how to build apps now, so maybe I'll build an app for that in the future. I don't know.
Yes.
But it'll be non-invasive app because I don't believe in violating people's privacy.
Right.
So there
right,
you go.
Now
what time is it?
It's we got 2 more minutes. Well, a minute. Got another minute.
All right. So what's our topic going to be? Artichokes?
What about Jerusalem artichokes? We have those on the farm.
There we go. That's what I was thinking. It starts with an A.
Well, starts with a J.
It sounds like it starts with an A, but see, I don't know how to read or spell, so.
Yeah.
Well,
illiterate. They are related.
I can't read or write or
speak. They are related. They are, you know, one's closer to the sunflower than the other, but they
right.
are in that general family of lettuce, dandelion, sunflower, thistle. Those plants are all
and that's
related.
That's what we've been talking about.
Yeah, we have been, actually. The last 3 podcasts, we've talked about relatives in that family. They all have similar properties. They're all, you know, now they have variations, but yeah. The artichoke, I don't know so much about. I know it's in the thistle family, so I assume it's the same as thistle. But it's 10 o'clock, so we try calling in and attempting to talk about something that I haven't studied today. Are you dialing? Have I lost you? Oh, my. I think I lost him. Well,
show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is, even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book. Which plant is good for arguing couples? This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants. Garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I am empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? Do you know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Amazing. I want
amazing.
One.
Amazing. I got six. Well, five now.
You got five, and I have one. And you know what? Mine compared to your five brand new ones still in the box, it looks worn already.
That's good. It means you're using it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I can't read it in the dark, and I haven't worked out, you know, nighttime lighting yet. So, and I hadn't studied. And, yeah. So I'll say this. After the podcast, we need to get together immediately and decide on which one we're going to talk about next. So,
today we're going to talk about Jerusalem artichokes.
Jerusalem artichokes. Do you have any documentation in front of you right now, or are we going to just wing this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I take it it's no to the first part and yes to the second part.
They are high in potassium.
Ah.
High in fiber. High in iron. High in vitamin A.
Yes.
They got a decent amount of protein. Vitamin B12. Vitamin D. Did I say calcium? High in calcium, too.
And guess whose family they're in?
They're in the Jewish family.
They're in the same family with lettuces and artichokes. You know, the artichokes where you eat the flower. Thistle. Dandelion. They're in that same family. Sunflowers and lettuce are related. So, yes, you can eat sunflower leaves, though I haven't personally tried it. They seem to be a bit tough. Maybe I'll have to cook them in a stew or something and see what happens. But they are... You know, your entire sunflower is edible. And Jerusalem artichokes are basically part of the sunflower family. The main difference, really, between a sunflower and a Jerusalem artichoke is the color of the center of the flower. All right? Sunflowers, let me see if I got my facts straight. Sunflowers tend to have yellow centers. And I guess the Jerusalem artichokes tend to have brown centers. I don't know. I know there's variations on sunflowers, so I might have it backwards. But that seems to be the main difference. It is possible
tall.
Well, Jerusalem artichokes can get really tall, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get they can get, I think, what, 10 foot tall?
Yeah, and their flower heads tend to be more condensed than the sunflowers and tend to be smaller. But there are variations. And the reason why I'm saying that they're very similar is because if you have sunflowers, when the sunflowers died away and you just have the dried stalks, dig around and see if you find some tubers. All right? Because that's the part of the Jerusalem artichoke you eat. You eat the tubers, all right? And you'll find that some of your sunflowers, they have a root system that's about a quarter inch thick, and they're about the consistency of a Jerusalem artichoke. You can eat those, all right? Now, Jerusalem artichoke, it tends to be a nodule, a tuber, like a small potato.
A bumpy tomato.
A bumpy, scaly potato. But they don't feel scaly, you know, eating them and stuff. It's just their appearance. And they have a nutty flavor when you eat them raw. But you can cook them. And
they got a nutty flavor when you cook them too, but not as bad.
Yeah, not as nutty. They don't have a nutty crunch to them anymore.
Right.
They have the consistency of a very soft potato when you've cooked them. All right. So, you know, and they can be cooked and they can be fried. And they're very tasty that way, but they're also very tasty raw. And they're good for people who have sugar issues. So diabetics would enjoy the benefits of eating Jerusalem artichokes. You said they have a high vitamin A content, and that fits right in with them being related to dandelion. You know, dandelions actually have more vitamin A than a carrot. I don't know about Jerusalem artichokes, but, you know, it fits. It's that same family. I would assume that, you know, and this is just an assumption, I assume that Jerusalem artichoke is also good for heart issues and circulatory issues. Most of the lettuce family is very good for those problems and issues. So, anything else to add to that?
They're delicious and nutritious.
Yeah, I actually dug up a bunch of them and took them to Bill and Shirley's house. And she surprised me. She cooked them. I was like, "You can cook those?" But yeah. She sauteed them up, served them plain, put a little bit of garlic and sprinkled a little salt on them, which is a pretty standard thing to do to most cooked vegetables. A little garlic and a little salt. You know, you do that to mushrooms.
Cholesterol.
Yes, and what's their starch content? You know, if you're watching starch.
That I don't know yet.
You don't know yet. I suspect it's considerably lower than the starch content of a potato.
Less than 1% fat.
Well, it's a vegetable.
Yeah. Niacin, 8%. Per 100 grams.
Niacin?
It's got niacin.
That's another plant I need to start eating. Lots of.
Riboflavins. 4.5%.
That's a good thing.
It's got more vitamin C than vitamin A.
Well,
it's got more niacin than vitamin C.
Wow.
It's got a lot of potassium in it. A lot of copper. So don't let your sheep eat it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but anyway, but copper is important. If you're getting gray hair and you're feeling muscle ache, you want to eat something that has lots of organic copper in it. So,
right, but don't take copper on an empty stomach. But if you eat something that has copper in it, then you're good.
I was going to say, eating a Jerusalem artichoke would certainly fill your stomach.
Yeah. It's high in iron. It's actually higher in iron than it is in copper. So women especially should, women who menstruate would be interested in Jerusalem artichokes because they lose a lot of iron that week.
Right.
Some people are typically low on iron anyways, like my mom. So she needs to be eating Jerusalem artichokes because she has a hard time taking supplements because they make her sick. And she needs iron. So there we go.
So I should be propagating our Jerusalem artichokes even more than I have been.
But you don't really need to. They grow like weeds.
Well, yes and no. We planted some, but we had borrowed, a friend came over with his tractor and he plowed for us. And to our surprise, we had hit a patch of Jerusalem artichokes that was already there, but they hadn't showed up because the weeds had overgrown them. All right, so they didn't get to full whatever. But because we plowed and knocked down all those weeds, and I don't really recommend plowing, but it benefited us in this respect. I had Jerusalem artichokes, just as many that I didn't plant as I did plant. And it just happened to be in the very garden where I planted them. So the plow hit a bunch of them and spread them through the area where I was planting them. It's not like I planted them and then plowed through them and scattered what I planted. These were already there. And I just happened to plant where Mother Nature had already planted. So I had a bunch of Jerusalem artichokes that weren't in my nice, neat rows. What you're telling me, though, is I need to take what we've got and propagate them in more areas on the farm.
Yep.
And I've seen them popping up in the middle of thistle patches. They're not very lively plants, and I'm not likely to harvest them because they're underneath a bunch of brambles. But maybe
artichoke.
Say what?
Jerusalem artichokes are a good probiotic.
Yep.
They help with blood glucose levels.
Mm-hmm.
They also help with digestion. Help control cholesterol. Help control blood pressure. Let's see here. Blood. Oh, okay. Helps with blood formation and helps boost immune system.
So it sounds
like chickweed, they help to boost the immune system.
Well, it sounds like they have the general properties of other plants in the lettuce family, with an added focus on sugar, helping with sugar issues. And I don't know if dandelion is a probiotic or not, but,
Okay, the thymine in the Jerusalem artichokes helps with the digestive tract.
Oh, okay. Thiamine is one of the B vitamins, isn't it?
Let me see. Yes.
Right. Which, yeah. All right. Yeah, your vitamins serve multiple functions. You know, it's like your B vitamins are mostly nervous system, mental issues, and your energy systems in your body. All right? They do all three of those things. But, you know, obviously they do other things as well. You know, like he just said, thiamine helps with digestion. All right? You know, so, but, you know, those are the three main functions that bees are known for. You know, so, you know, any source of vitamins you can get your hands on, you know, is preferably natural. There's a slew of health benefits that just come from getting just your vitamins, because every vitamin helps in multiple systems, you know. And thus, a vitamin deficiency can result in a number of illnesses that seem totally and completely unrelated, you know. But, so, you know, you might take your vitamin for, you know, vitamin A for your eyesight and find out that it's helping out with, you know, with your sleep.
And your lungs, because vitamin A is good for the lungs.
Yeah. You know, so it's like you take it for one thing and it helps with another. Unlike the drugs they give you.
Oh, yeah. If you take pharmaceuticals, you got like 50 side effects that actually cause harm. If you take herbs, there's like 50 side effects that actually increase health.
Oh, my God. The side effects are healing me.
Pretty much. I mean, because every herb is known for, or mineral or vitamin, is known for certain healing properties. But it's got all these other healing properties that people don't generally talk about.
Right.
And like dandelion and thistle is generally talked about for being good for the liver. But dandelion is good for diabetes. Thistle's good for, I forgot. But anyways, they're good for all kinds of things. And
right.
So the side effects are good for you versus the side effects of the pharmaceutical industry.
Right. And, you know, generally the herbs I know about are the ones that I've been taking for my own reasons.
Well, that's everybody.
Right. Yeah, that's everybody. And so I'll know about those issues, and I'll know about a few issues that my friends are dealing with, but for the most part, it's me. I know I'm selfish, all right? But, you know, I know what my problems are, and I've sought out solutions for those problems, and so like...
And that's
you'll hear me complain about my eyesight, but I was noting today, I was looking at a little teeny tiny spider on my hand, and I was having eyesight issues, but I was noticing that my eyesight's still excellent, but I have this double vision issue, which somebody kind of gave me a clue
vision.
To what... Well, yeah, I mean, I with one eye, I can close one eye, and if I've been reading for a long time, see, like right now I'm looking at my screen, and I know that there's a definite division between the blue and the white section of my screen, but I can see a shadow of overlap that results from my double vision, okay? All the letters have a little shadow underneath them. A repeat of themselves, okay? And it's up and down, all right? And that happens with one eye. Well, I talked to somebody who had their thyroid burned out, and they have that problem, and it's a result of basically not having a thyroid. It's you know, it's an eye problem that occurs because their thyroid is no longer functioning. In their case, because their thyroid was removed. All right? And you know, so iodine can actually help your vision if you have a thyroid. Because if your thyroid is affecting your vision, the nutrient your thyroid typically needs when it's malfunctioning is iodine. And there's other things it needs as well. But, you know, if you're having a thyroid problem, the first thing you should work on is supplementing your iodine intake. You know, sure, maybe you don't have goiter. All right, that's why they put iodine in the salt, to prevent goiter. But so you've got enough iodine to stop your thyroid from swelling, but maybe you don't have enough iodine to make your thyroid function fully.
That's another thing that thistle and or dandelion is good for.
90 seconds.
Oh, my. We've used up that much time already.
We have 90 seconds remaining.
Right. So dandelion and thistle are good for what now?
Thistle and or dandelion are good for the thyroid as well.
Okay. Is that due to iodine content, or is there other supporting elements?
60 seconds.
We'll have to look it up. So yeah, we have 1 minute remaining. So if you want to hear the rest of the story, go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we will continue our commentary. And I'm working on a new site where we will continue with our continuation on that location in the future. So check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. Make sure you get his book or other books like it. And
10 seconds.
That's it.
All right. Well, good night, folks, but we will keep talking, even though this podcast will be over. Because it's a subset of our regular podcast.
And now we are on DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
Now, did you have to hang up on that, or does it hang up automatically?
Yes.
Which?
It works better if I hang up on it, but it'll do it either way.
It'll do it either way. Okay. So they don't send you a bill later for the extra 2 or 3 minutes if you fail to hang up.
Oh, God. That would be horrible. They would probably lose customers. So,
well,
if we get sponsors, then, you know, I'll pay the $400 a year, maybe. But
they would probably lose freebie customers.
They would definitely lose freebie customers.
Right.
So, yeah. Free food and medicine. I was talking to this lady on Bumble. Actually, I'm still talking to her on Bumble. She might be listening to this podcast here shortly. But she deep fries her dandelions.
The roots or the leaves or the stems or?
That's a good question.
I've sauteed the stems.
I'm going back and looking.
Now, I've had some friends who've tried them after I've sauteed them.
She deep fries the flowers.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Me, I dry them out and make a tea out of them. But
does she batter them or does she just do them straight?
I was thinking batter, but I didn't go into detail. I just said I would have to try that. But
I can go either way with that.
Yeah.
But
fried food isn't really all that healthy unless you do it in what? Peanut oil or coconut oil?
Well, fried food isn't all that healthy. But you can get the same effect as fried food by baking them in a cooking sheet in the oven, and it'd be healthier for you.
Right. I'm not a huge fan of coconut oil as far as taste, but it's really good for you.
Yes. Unless, as Bill pointed out, you're a diabetic. And that's something. The fact that dandelion is good for the liver and wild lettuce is good for the liver, detoxifying it. My friend Bill points out that from what he's reading, diabetes is not a pancreas issue. Right? You know, you'd think it is because, you know, that's the source of your insulin. It's really a liver issue. And
probably both.
Well, it becomes a pancreas issue because people start taking insulin shots and the pancreas says, oh, well, you don't need me. And it atrophies and goes away.
Oh, yeah, because, exactly.
Right. But he's pointing out the main issue is your liver. And the reason he says that, the conclusion he's came to, and it makes sense to me, and I'll have to look into it myself, is that when the liver is malfunctioning, it stops processing the fats and the poisons. All right? And in this case, it's the fats that's the problems, and so you end up with a large amount of oil in your bloodstream. And the oil coats the insulin. And so your body, your cells can no longer absorb the insulin to use for processing sugar. And so you become diabetic. You're having insulin problems because your liver's not functioning. All right? And so what he says is if you're having diabetic problems, one of the things you need to start doing is you need to start avoiding all oils, including coconut oil and butter and things like that. You need to avoid them, all right? Which I'm a little hinky about because, you know, hey, that's a major source of nutrition right there that you're throwing out, all right? You need
– maybe cut back on it.
Well, you need your saturated fats just to build cells, right? Not your pseudo-saturated fats, you know, like margarine and things like that, you know.
Well, it's kind of like what you say about going vegan. If you got a disease or some kind of disorder that you're dealing with, go vegan or vegetarian to do a quick correction and then go back to doing the other stuff in moderation. But
right.
Healthy other stuff in moderation. Because meat's good for you, but too much meat, not so much, unless you have a certain autoimmune disorder to where you have to be on a they call it an all meat diet, but it's actually more like a 75% meat diet.
Yeah, I think that'd be unhealthy.
Some people, it works for them because they have a certain... I don't know what the solution is other than meat, but they have an autoimmune disorder that something in the meat is correcting. Now, you know, if they were eating their Wheaties, they probably wouldn't have that problem in the first place. But who knows?
Right.
Everybody's different, but, you know, you get more nutrients in your wild edibles than you do in a lot of your domesticated foods. So it's good to learn the wild edibles for nutritional value, you know, medicinal value. Because while, you know, chickweed, for example, the chickweed that we have growing in our flower pot, if you will,
right,
it's delicious. Now,
yeah, in my tomato pot that doesn't grow any tomatoes.
Right. It is delicious, but it may not have the nutrients that the wild, I mean, it's wild chickweed, but the chickweed that's growing in that pot may not have as much nutrients as the chickweed is growing while on the ground, because the stuff on the ground is exposed to more nutrients, where the stuff in the flower pot or the tomato pot is restricted to certain types of nutrients.
Well, basically to what we've stuck in there, which, well, I am adding nutrients to it because I keep shoving stuff down the wick. You know,
that and whatever falls out of the juniper tree that it's underneath, between bird poop and juniper leaves. Because according to Cloud Piler, bird poop is the number one source of nutrients that gets transplanted onto your land.
Right.
So you want lots of trees, so you get lots of bird poo. Just make sure you carry an umbrella.
Well, I do my favorite time to go and harvest wild stuff is right after a good rain.
Right. I was going to say right after a good bird squirt. Anyways, yeah, right after a good rain, because, you know, that's, you know, it's good, it's done, washed everything pretty thorough, depending on how good the rain was. And yeah, if I'm out foraging, that's my favorite time, because one, the food tastes a little bit more succulent, if you will.
The exception being sumac berries.
Sumac berries.
Yes, you want to gather them.
It washes the flavor off.
It washes the flavor off. There's that white, waxy, oily substance on the berries. That's what you want to dissolve in the water to make your lemonade.
Yes, and I didn't know this, David did, but we have my favorite sumac berries on the land. They should be blooming, or the berries should be coming out pretty soon, so.
Yeah, because they're just putting the leaves out now.
Okay.
I've got them around my camper. There's some more over by the utility area. And I can see I can see the flower heads on them, but they haven't bloomed yet.
their blooms, their flowers aren't very impressive, but
the berries are.
Yeah. The berries, I think I agree with you. They have more flavor. It's fragrant sumac, and it doesn't grow very tall. And for the longest time, because I'm immune to poison ivy, people have me pull poison ivy out, and so they'll point at their poison ivy patch and have me pull it out. Well, people were pointing at fragrant sumac and asking me to remove it because it was poison ivy. And I did so, and I didn't know the difference. I don't get any reaction from poison ivy, so why should I, you know, notice anything strange about pulling up, fragrant sumac? Well, a friend pointed out to me that she thought that that was spiceberry bush. All right. Now, I tried looking up spiceberry bush, and I have no idea what she's talking about. So it might be an alternative name for fragrant sumac. But the way you can identify fragrant sumac is, A, it has red berries, like other edible sumacs do. And B, if you take the leaves and you wad them up in your hand, it has a fragrant odor. Now, if that's your method of testing whether it's fragrant sumac versus poison ivy, well, I hope you're not susceptible to poison ivy.
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh, it doesn't smell nice. I'm going to get a rash. it has a nice odor to it. When you mash up the leaves. So, at some point I'm going to have to try making a tea out of it and see if that scent has an equivalent taste to it. Cause that might be interesting. So.
Right.
And we'll have to look into the, nutritional and medical properties of fragrant sumac, which wouldn't be a bad idea to do because we got plenty of it.
Plenty of it.
The May apples are up. They haven't bloomed yet, but I've seen many a flower bud among our patches.
Have you yet to get a May apple yet?
No. Nope. The last chance I had to get May apples is back when I had geese, and my geese beat me to them by minutes. I went to check them to see if they were ripe, and the geese had already determined that they were, and we're eating them. Wasn't that nice of them?
Oh, yeah.
I had a nice protected patch that I knew I was going to get at least one or two May apples off of, and, you know, what's going to be disappointing is when I finally get to taste one, I find out that they aren't really that tasty. Here's the problem with May apples. Here's the problem with May apples, all right? They are potentially poisonous. They are, all the documentation says they're poisonous until they are ripe. All right. So you need to be sure that they're ripe before you eat them. Well, every critter and its cousin wants to eat a May apple as soon as it's ripe. So I assume they're very tasty. All right. But then lots of critters like to eat hedge apples.
And while they're very high in nutrition, my experience so far is that they're not very palatable.
They're not palatable?
Palatable. Edible? Yes. Highly nutritious? Yes. Palatable? No. But if you got cancer, and since cancer is basically a nutrient deficiency, grabbing hold of one of the superfoods, well, cancer is a severe case of nutritional deficiency. All right.
Right.
Grabbing hold of one of the superfoods and eating it, no matter how awful that superfood may taste, is a very smart and wise idea. And hedge apples happen to be one of the superfoods. They are very high nutrient content. Now, caveat being, they're also high in latex. So if you're allergic to latex, that might not be the route to go. But then again, you might be allergic to latex because you're lacking nutrients. So, you know, because allergies are actually a nutrient deficiency as well. So, and if you want to know what to get in order to get rid of your allergies, person to call in and listen to would be Dr. Wallach in his program called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Granted, have your tape recorder going and be prepared to slow it down because he will tell you what you need so fast that you won't even be able to write down the first letter of each item before he's finished the list. He drives me crazy because he talks so dang fast. And it's like, if you just slow down, more people would benefit from what he had to say.
Right.
But he seems to think that he has to get through all these people so quickly. And it's like, if he just slowed down just a little bit, more people would be able to write down what he's saying. But anyway, that's a rabbit trail or a rabbit hole or something. I don't know.
Which reminds me, if you go to rabbittrailpodcast.com or the rabbitholepodcast.com, it'll take you to our index page where you'll find all of our podcasts.
Cool. So, what do you want to talk about in the last 10 minutes?
Last 10 minutes. Yes. Well, we talked about in the first 10 minutes. All right, I bought...
six copies.
Freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com. During this past hour, I redirected it to our podcast and changed our Blog Talk Radio extension from Manic Monday to Free Food and Medicine. So now our Blog Talk Radio website is free food or blogtalkradio.com/freefoodandmedicine. And or just go to freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com. That'll take you to our Blog Talk Radio podcast. And then, of course, if you want to hear more after the 30-minute window that we get, you can go to, in the future, go to freefoodandmedicine.org, potentially. I'm still working out the details, but probably we're going to go with that. Freefoodandmedicine.org. We'll have the blog. We'll have the video site. We'll have the podcast. We'll have the Discord, the whole nine yards. And again, maybe I'll have a a smartphone app as well. But the Discord might serve as the smartphone app because it works on the smartphone. So there we go. ManicMondayPodcast.com to find our index page as well as, you know, Rabbit Trail, Rabbit Hole. We ended up calling, you know, we tend to go down rabbit holes and go off on rabbit trails, and sometimes we forget where we were and we just get lost. So I bought the domain names, the Rabbit Trail and the Rabbit Hole Podcast, because we do that. And since we do it on Monday, I also bought Manic Monday Podcast. So just go to ManicMondayPodcast.com, and you'll get to see what we're doing in the future if we change it up again in the future, because we tend to kind of mix it up a little bit. And at that, the index page is on my KCLA management website, where you get to see all of our projects that we're working on potentially, because that's where I usually list all of my projects that I'm working on. And if you need a website, web hosting, or domain name, and or maybe even a smartphone app, I might be able to do that in the future too. Go to kclai.com to check out my IT site and the IT side of my business. And check out Marcus Rothkranz at freefoodandmedicine.com or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. He's got a really awesome book. He's got really awesome videos. He's got really awesome products. He's just really awesome, and so is his wife. They are just really awesome people. So I guess that's it.
All right. Well,
there's other people, too, that do this. It's just Marcus Rothkranz just got my attention. Who wrote the book that you have? I saw that one when I Googled Free Food and Medicine. That book that you have with, I think,
Stephen Brillman. Stephen Brillman, I believe, is his name. And I love that book. But the Free Food and Medicine, if you're just starting out in this stuff, that is probably one of the best books to get a hold of, because he took beautiful photographs of everything he's talking about. You know, and while he doesn't have all the knowledge that you could possibly want to know about every plant, he at least has enough knowledge in there that you have a clue what you want to start eating and looking for. And you have
like
a clear indicator
guide.
Yes, but it's a heavy-duty beginner's guide. It doesn't leave you wanting. It is enough. All right. If it's
right.
The only book you get, it's enough. All right. But you'll want other books.
It'll leave you wanting because he doesn't have chickweed in there.
That's true. No, he doesn't have chickweed in there. He's got chickweed in there, doesn't he?
What was it that he didn't have in there?
I think it's still Steve Brillman that didn't have chickweed.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look. But I can't look now because, you know, it's like there's no moon in the sky for me to read by.
That's fine. I'll have the book here soon because I just ordered 6 of them. And so I'll have my copy here for too long. I've been meaning to buy the book for at least a year now, 2 years, but I just never got around to it. I got digital copies of How to Improve Your Vision, and I've got the digital copy of the Free Food and Medicine. I just didn't get the hard copy. This is actually the first physical hard copy of any of his stuff that I bought. Everything else I bought from him was digitized. So, Yeah. We live in a digital world, but you definitely should get hard copies of everything because digital is not flawless.
Well, yes, I've got lots of books and PDFs that I've pulled off the internet, and every time one of my phones dies, I have to go look for those things again.
Not only that, but he had a multi-terabyte hard drive that crashed.
Actually, I may have a solution to that because it could be in the hardware that was allowing the USB interface. So I might be able to retrieve the data off of that hard off of that terabyte drive.
Yeah.
With this new device I got.
True, and I got that hacker set up now too, to where if your device doesn't work, mine might.
Right.
Because now I can hack hard drives even if they're encrypted and password protected. I won't be able to read the encryption, but I'll be able to bypass the encryptions.
Right.
So, because if your hard drive crashes, or if your laptop crashes, or computer crashes, and you have a password on your computer, it encrypts access to the hard drive, and you have to have an IT person hack the hard drive in order to get your data. Well, I now have the software and the hardware to do that, where before I didn't. I always had to take it to a computer doctor. So, freefoodandmedicine.com. freefoodandmedicine.net, freefoodandmedicine.org, and freefoodandmedicinepodcast.com. Boom, shakalaka. We'll have the Discord links and all that stuff put together in due time. I've got like 1,000 things on my plate, so I'm getting to them one step at a time. So there you go.
Woo-hoo.
Guess that's it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Night, folks.
Good night.